Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, April 12, 2021. Some residents of Tombora County in western Equatoria State say tribal hatred could spark clashes in the county.
We were two tribes in Tombora. We used to live together, go to school, and even could intermarry. But where has this government come from? We have seen many terrible things.
And UNICEF is fighting vaccine misinformation in West Africa.
And so it only makes sense that, we should use, the tools that are available to us to sensitize people and make people understand that vaccines work.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some women in Tombora County in western Equatoria State say the county is witnessing a string of killings by unknown gunmen at night. A Tombora County women's representative says she worries every night about her safety. The former governor of western Equatoria State, who is now the National Minister for Labor and Public Services, calls the situation worrying. For VOA News, Siba Martin Murangi reports from Yambio.
Tombora County residents Margaret Matthew is calling on South Sudanese leaders to put an end to the killings in Tombora County. She blames Western Equatoria State authorities for ignoring the cries of the people in the county.
We were two tribes in Tombora. We used to live together, go to school, and even could intermarry. But where has this government come from? We have seen many terrible things. It's not easy to conceive, deliver, and by the end of the day, the child is killed in your own. Please see our suffering. See our suffering.
Margaret Matthew, a resident, says there is no peace in Tombora County and residents live in fear. Michelina Pio is a woman representative in Tombora County who says Tombora has been her home for many years.
Minga Balanda.
I am a Balanda. I was married off to a Zandi man since I was young. Life then was good. How I am living now is difficult. I don't sleep at night. I hear footsteps the whole night without proper reason. I pleaded for how we used to live before in peace. Even Espele war wasn't as bad as this. As for now, we are really tired. All our children will die.
Bangasi Joseph Bakosoro, who hails from Tombora, is South Sudan's National Minister of Labor and Public Service. He blames tribalism for the insecurity in Tombora.
It is true, there is hatred between Azande and Balanda. It has been there. I've been growing under this. It is in Wau and Malakal. Hatred is a behavior, but it has not reached the type of today, not even to reach killing each other. If you have differences between each other, it should not reach an extent of killing each other.
Communities in Tombora County peacefully coexisted during South Sudan's 21 years of SPLA's fighting with Sudan. Leaders in the area say the recent killings could damage decades of intercommunal relations and spark widespread violence in the region if it is not addressed soon. For VOA News, I'm Seba Martin Murangi in Yambio.
The faith of hundreds of thousands of refugees in Kenya, including South Sudanese and Sudanese, hangs in the balance as UN officials try to discourage Kenyan authorities from closing the two camps that many have called home for the past three decades. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
The Kenyan government announced its intention to close the Dadaab and Kakuma refugee camps on March 24th. It gave the UN Refugee Agency 2 weeks to come up with a roadmap for returning home the 430,000 residents of the two sprawling camps. Most come from Somalia. That deadline was up Thursday. However, the refugees and the UNHCR have been given a last-minute reprieve. News organizations and activists report Kenya's High Court on Thursday suspended the government's closure order for 30 days. UNHCR spokesman Baba Baluch says his agency is deeply concerned about the impact Kenya's closure of the camps would have on the needs of the refugees, including their need for protection from the COVID-19 pandemic.
We are in constant dialogue with the authorities on the issue and have been urging them to ensure that any decisions allow for suitable and sustainable solutions to be found and that those who continue to need protection as refugees are able to receive it in line with Kenya's national and international obligations.
Baluch says a statement issued by the UNHCR's office in Nairobi recognizes the generosity extended by the people and government of Kenya towards the refugees for many decades.
The statement says that UNHCR has shared with the government of Kenya a proposed set of sustainable and right-based measures aimed at identifying solutions for refugees living in the Dadaab and Kakuma refugee camps. We have heard the concerns expressed by the government of Kenya and hope that these measures will be a significant step forward in accelerating, as I mentioned, sustainable solutions for all those concerned.
The UNHCR's plan includes a provision for increasing the voluntary repatriation of refugees, taking into account restrictions imposed because of COVID-19. It proposes that some refugees from East Africa be allowed to remain in Kenya and become self-reliant and contributing members of society. The plan also calls for the resettlement to third countries of refugees who would run life-threatening risks were they to be returned to their countries of origin. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
With rollout of COVID-19 vaccine hampered by misinformation, some renowned artists in Africa are trying to create awareness and encourage people to get their shots. For VOA News, Mavis Autry reports from Joaso in the Ashanti region of Ghana.
Coban's Emmanuel Asoko, an international acclaimed musician and national ambassador for UNICEF Nigeria, is among those helping to spread the word that vaccines are safe and effective. He says this initiative was largely driven by the United Nations Children Fund using its ambassadors and cultural influencers like him who were into music and other art forms to raise awareness and demystify the COVID-19 vaccination efforts. He says the misinformation isn't grounded in facts or research, noting that vaccines have been saving lives for decades.
Vaccines have been known to be very effective. You know, over time we've had, you know, vaccination, especially for children against killer diseases, you know, measles, smallpox, chicken pox, you know, the likes, you know, over time. And so this is just another timely intervention, especially, you know, in the midst of a pandemic that has majorly disrupted our lives. And so it only makes sense that, you know, we should use, you know, the tools that are available to us to sensitize people and make people understand that vaccines work.
Asoko says the sooner people get themselves vaccinated, the quicker that Africa and the rest of the world can return to some semblance of normalcy. He says the quick response in creating and producing the COVID-19 vaccines bode well with coping with future pandemics.
I feel like the vaccine has a very important role in helping us return, like I said, to normal life, in helping us return to normalcy. Economy, family, social interactions, all kinds of things have been obviously interrupted gravely by the COVID-19 pandemic. And I feel like, you know, the vaccine more than many other options right now, especially with the combination of other social protocols, provide more than just a glimmer of hope. I think it gets us back into that space where we can actually begin to function, where we can have sporting activities, where we can have concerts, where we can have just knowing that there is that layer of protection, you know, against the virus.
Asoko urged people who question the vaccines to do research before making unfounded statements listening and discouraging others from taking them.
I find that what happens is we move from a place of supposing to a place of affirming, where it probably starts as a rumor, and before you know what's happening, you know, it becomes a matter of authority.
He says the media and various stakeholders need to help people understand the vaccine's work and should be embraced. Reporting for VOA, this is Mavis Autry in Jaso in the Ashanti region of Ghana.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Still on COVID-19 issues, Malawi's Ministry of Health has expanded eligibility for the COVID-19 vaccine to all Malawians 18 and older. The decision was prompted by the approaching expiration date of about 40,000 doses the country received from African Union. For VOA News, Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Malawi's government has so far received 512,000 doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine, which it is administering to the public. The first batch of 360,000 doses came in early March under the COVAX facility. A few weeks later, Malawi received another consignment of 50,000 doses from India and 102,000 doses from the African Union. Joshua Malango is the spokesperson for Malawi's Minister of Health. He says 40,000 of the African Union doses expire Tuesday, while the other vaccine expires in July. Malango believes there is still time to distribute the AU doses before they become unusable.
We have 4 days to go. We still have tomorrow, we still have Sunday, we still have Monday.
In a revised situation update Wednesday, the Minister of Health said all Malawians 18 and older are now eligible to be vaccinated. Critics have questioned why Malawi accepted doses with such a short expiration date. However, government officials said they did not anticipate the drugs would be unused given the huge turnout of people during the early days of the vaccination process. Dr. Mike Chisema is a manager for the expanded immunization program. He says the ministry has also started deploying medical workers to encourage vaccinations. He says the aim is to be near those who would want to receive the vaccine. We don't want people to travel long distances to seek vaccination. This will help people with disabilities to access the vaccine without difficulties. The ministry said this week that out of its 512,000 doses of AstraZeneca vaccine, it has only used 164,000, mostly in urban areas. Healthcare activists say that is largely because of a lack of civic education on the vaccine, especially in rural areas. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, what are farmers in Zimbabwe doing to survive during the COVID-19 pandemic? We have answers to that question right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is your golden rule in life?
My golden rule is never to give up, no matter what, whether it's on family challenges, money problems, work related, I just never give up.
Golden rule. No, I don't allow men to play with my life. That is my golden rule. And I don't allow anyone to talk ill about my parents and my family.
Put God first, because in everything you need God. And as you know, the fearing of God is the beginning of knowledge.
Not to lie, I always want to base my living, everything I do, my speaking, my saying, in facts and truth.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The World Health Organization is warning that COVID-19 cases and deaths are rising globally, partly because of complacency setting in that vaccines will stop the spread of the disease. The latest World Health Organization report confirms more than 133.5 million cases of coronavirus infections, including nearly 3 million global deaths. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Data show a worrisome uptick in coronavirus cases and deaths in all regions of the world, with Africa slightly less affected than other regions. The World Health Organization attributes this rise to several factors, including an increase in coronavirus variants, failure to practice public health measures, and the resumption of so-called normal life when people emerge from lockdown. Another problem, says WHO spokeswoman Margaret Harris, is a growing complacency that the availability of vaccines will soon end the crisis.
People are misunderstanding that, seeming to think that vaccination will stop transmission. That is not the case. We need to bring down the transmission while giving the vaccination the chance to stop the severe disease and the severe deaths.
WHO reports nearly 670 million doses of vaccines have been administered globally. However, most of those doses have been given in wealthy countries. Furthermore, WHO warns there is a critical shortage of vaccines. Harris says some countries cannot start COVID-19 inoculation campaigns because of the serious shortfall of doses, especially in developing countries.
So what can be done about it? Doubling down on the public health social measures, truly understanding we have to keep on social distancing, we have to avoid indoor crowded settings, we have to keep wearing the masks, even if vaccinated.
The good news, says Harris, is preliminary results from countries such as Britain show that vaccination programs have averted very large numbers of deaths. However, until most of the world is vaccinated, she says people must not let down their guard. They must remain vigilant and practice the few simple public health measures that have been shown to work. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
China's top disease control official has said the country is formally considering mixing COVID-19 vaccines as a way of further boosting vaccine efficacy. Reuters' Freddie Joner has more.
Available data shows Chinese vaccines lag behind others, including Pfizer and Moderna, in terms of efficacy, but require less stringent temperature controls during storage. Gao Fu, the director of the Chinese Centers for Disease Control and Prevention on Saturday, said the current available vaccines, quote, don't have very high rates of protection, adding, quote, inoculation using vaccines of different technical lines is being considered. Gao said that taking steps to optimize the vaccine process, including changing the number of doses and the length of time between doses, was a definite solution to the efficacy issues. China has developed 4 domestic vaccines approved for public use, and an official said on Saturday that the country will likely produce 3 billion doses by the end of the year. A COVID-19 vaccine developed by China's Sinovac was found to have an efficacy rate of slightly above 50% in Brazilian clinical trials. A separate study in Turkey said it was 83.5% effective. No detailed efficacy data has been released on vaccines made by China's Sinopharm. A World Health Organization panel said in March that both vaccine makers have presented data on their COVID-19 vaccines, indicating levels of efficacy in line with those required by the WHO. China has shipped millions of its vaccines abroad, and officials and state media have fiercely defended the shots while calling into question the safety and logistics capabilities of other vaccines.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
After struggling through the coronavirus pandemic, tobacco farmers in Zimbabwe, Africa's largest tobacco producer, are pinning their economic hopes on tobacco selling season, which opened this month. Despite anti-smoking campaigns ahead of the World Health Organization's No Tobacco Day, May 31st, farmers say the crop is one of the most reliable for earning more stable foreign currencies. For VOA News, Columbus Mavunga reports from Harare.
After quitting journalism at a government-controlled company 4 years ago, 39-year-old Itai Mazire went into farming. This year, he expects to sell at least 9,000 kilograms of tobacco from his 8-hectare plot about 150 kilometers east of Harare. Mazire says delayed selling seasons due to the coronavirus pandemic forced him to dip into his savings to pay workers. But Mazire says his harvest this year was the biggest ever, and he expects sales to more than double from that of 2020.
This season has been a success. To us farmers in Zimbabwe, tobacco farmers in particular, the rains were with us, and we did our job. And it's a perfect story. We are curing our tobacco, and every farmer will be smiling all the way to the bank. He'll get his money, the economy will improve, our foreign currency reserves will improve through tobacco.
After gold, tobacco is Zimbabwe's biggest foreign currency earner. The cash-strapped government expects earnings this year to jump from last year's $452 million to $800 million. Agriculture Minister Anxious Masuka says that's not enough.
The tobacco industry's potential is immense. It is in this regard that government, together with stakeholders in the industry, is at a very advanced stage of developing a 3-pronged strategy. First, to increase annual production to 300 million kilograms, largely from smallholder farmers by 2025.
Campaigners say Zimbabwe should instead work to replace tobacco, which is known to cause cancer, with other crops that are less damaging to health. Sharon Nyatsanza from the South Africa-based National Council Against Smoking says people who use tobacco are more vulnerable to the coronavirus, the cause of the COVID-19 disease.
Emerging science shows that people who are exposed to tobacco are at higher risk of developing worse COVID-19 outcomes. But beyond the COVID-19 pandemic, tobacco is a threat to humanity, and it kills millions each and every year. It is very, very key for Zimbabwe to start to take significant strides to move away from tobacco farming and to invest more and to promote more alternative livelihoods for tobacco farmers.
The World Health Organization says tobacco kills more than 8 million people each year globally. For farmers like Mazirem, the crop remains one of the best options to make a living in Zimbabwe's long struggling economy. Mazire says he plans to use more hectares for the 2021-2022 growing season, which begins mid-year. Columbus Mavungam for VOA News, Murewa, Zimbabwe.
That's our show for this Monday. Let's know what you think about this show. Our WhatsApp number is +12026308011. We will air your comments every Friday. We now leave you with Moise Mbiye with the song Nzela Nangai.
Poho bate la kangai, kubunde la kanga, bisika nyonsa na tematambe. Hezo pesa melangai, nalingi nangaseong, banje lulelo bazane sengo. Omo konzi yangu ya, piwala telemi, ayo kikolela ya banana ye. Landana la la e, ela la kia pambate, lelo, sala. Zambe malamu, ngolu na yonde vandisi nga na kichoyo. Mawa na yonde longo linga gatia basi, na bosa nite. Je suis prêt à tout, na bola na njela na yo ataba fingi. Nyonseza la kina tinga eko mipamba na kutani na yo na ndela nanga Merci Jésus Mbalingi baye ba sekele na ngae Omagasi na ngae Nazu yango wapie Mbae bakite Yesu Masiya Kazali nanguya Yako tombola moto Tango eko kia bananzambe Mbapelisa mwinga Gengisa mokili Mwana mokonzi matana mpunda Oyo tango nanzambe Nabasali na ye Tala Lelo Goluna yonde komi singa bisikoyo Mawana yonde longo linga kacha pasi Nambosa nite Je suis prêt à tout Nagola nanzela na yo atanga moko Nyoveza la kina tina eko mi pamba Nakutani na yo Nanzela nanga
We've been listening to Moise Mbiye with the song Nzela Nangai. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.